Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Inox Wind Limited earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Sejal. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all to the Q4 FY24 earnings call of Inox Wind Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Devansh Jain, Executive Director, Inox GFL Group; Mr. Kailash Tarachandani, CEO, Inox Wind; Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group CFO, Inox GFL Group; Mr. Rahul Rungta, CFO, Inox Wind; and other senior members of the management. So, without much further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the senior management for their opening remarks, and it will be followed by the Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Rahul Rungta, sir.
Thanks. Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to all in the quarter and full year ended 31st March 2024 earnings call of Inox Wind Limited. The company announced its results at its board meeting held today, Friday, 3rd May 2024. The results, along with the earnings presentation and press release, are available on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. Let me first take you quickly through the financial results for Q4 and FY24 for the company. For the quarter, on consolidated basis, Inox Wind has reported revenue of rupees 563 crores in Q4 FY24 versus rupees 194 crores in Q4 FY23, an increase of 190% YOY. EBITDA of rupees 140 crores in Q4 FY24 versus EBITDA loss of rupees 25 crores in Q4 FY23. Profit after tax of rupees 38 crores in Q4 FY24 versus loss after tax of rupees 115 crores in Q4 FY23. Now, I will take you through the FY24 numbers on consolidated basis. Inox Wind has reported revenue of rupees 1,800 crores in FY24 versus 754 crores in FY23, an increase of 139% YOY. EBITDA of rupees 344 crores in FY24 versus EBITDA loss of 242 crores in FY23. Loss after tax of rupees 51 crores in FY24 versus loss after tax of rupees 697 crores in FY23. Our EBITDA run rate for the quarter and our healthy order book of 2.7 GW sets us on a strong footing for FY25. Further, despite a huge ramp-up in our operations during the year, especially Q4, we have been successfully able to reduce our external net interest-bearing debt to rupees 655 crores as of FY24 end. I would now like to hand over the floor to our CEO, Mr. Kailash Tarachandani, for his remarks. Thank you.
Good evening. As I said before you today, at the end of an action-packed FY24 for Inox Wind, it gives me immense satisfaction to have been able to achieve what we had set out for the start of the year. We had guided to become profitable during FY24, and we have achieved this feat in quarter three itself. Further, quarter four has been even a better quarter for us with the ramp-up of the manufacturing of 3 MW wind turbines. The macro outlook continues to be extremely favorable. This year itself, peak demand is expected to touch 260 GW, 7% higher than the last year. The pace of power demand growth is expected to remain strong in the coming years, requiring capacity addition at a rapid pace, particularly renewables. Over the next 8-10 years, India plans to add around 100 GW of wind power capacity on the current base of around 46 GW. In FY24, over 50 GW of renewable capacity was awarded through auctions, including over 15 GW of hybrid RTC FDRE project and 2.3 GW of plain vanilla wind, resulting in over 10 GW of wind capacity alone to be set up. The macro tailwinds are reflected in the strong order book, which is stand at 2.7 gigawatt today. Our other initiative, including ramping up operations, strengthening our balance sheet, coupled with our large order book, will translate into higher order execution from FY25 onwards, resulting in strong growth in profitability. Q4 has been a milestone quarter for the company as we successfully transitioned to 3 megawatt wind turbine production from 2 megawatt. Our Q4 EBITDA run rate places us on a strong footing for FY25. We continue to maintain our EBITDA margin guidance at 14 to 15% for full year FY25, though there could be quarterly volatility. Our debt levels have also come down drastically, and we expect to be net debt free within H1 FY25. We are now geared up for gigawatt scale annual execution and are taking further actions to ready ourselves for 2 gigawatt of annual execution in the medium term. Our healthy order book of 2.7 gigawatt to a mix of all customers, PSUs, IPPs, C&I market and retail market. We are seeing very strong demand from all customer segments are in advanced stages of discussion with various customers, both existing and new for future orders. We have a healthy mix of turnkey and equipment supply orders. We have also secured a 210 megawatt order from Hero Future Energy. This is a significant win as this is a repeat order from a large Marquee C&I player. Looking at the next decade of opportunities, we have also secured the license of 4x megawatt wind turbine platform. The 4x wind turbine, the megawatt wind turbine with a large rotor diameter will be a revolutionary product in India. Further, improving energy yield, reducing levelized cost of energy and offering superior performance to harness wind sites optimally, thereby setting new benchmarks in the Indian wind industry. With this, I will now like to open up floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants of the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is on the line of Subhadeep Mitra from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, I think in your opening remarks, you did mention that we've seen close to 10 gigawatts of wind tendering. If you could please help us understand, you know, how much of this did you mention was hybrid and how much was wind alone?
Yes, good evening. So around 15 gigawatt plus of hybrid FDRE and RTC tenders have been awarded over the course of FY24. And we believe that out of this 15 gigawatt, roughly around 8 to 9 gigawatt is the effective wind capacity which needs to be set up for these projects. And in addition to that, there is around 2.3 gigawatt of plain vanilla wind projects which have been awarded. So roughly around 10 to 11 gigawatts is the effective wind capacity which has been awarded over the course of FY24.
And how do you see this market, you know, going ahead? So what I wanted to basically get a sense on is, how do you see the FDRE and the CNI bidding market moving ahead? As you're mentioning, maybe that number is up to between, let's say, 10 to 12 gigawatt. And on top of that, there is a larger CNI piece which will add to the wind. If you can just throw some color on that.
So if you look at the goal set out where India wants to achieve 140 gigawatts of wind by 2032, we're looking at a scenario where we want 100 gigawatts being implemented in the next 6 to 8 years. Now that would effectively translate to 12 to 13 gigawatts of wind power being supplied to the grid. Now it's very difficult to put a number. Effectively, if you start seeing now what's happening on C&I, if there are more hybrid and RTC and FDRE tenders, because in FDRE, whatever capacity you build, you need to put 2x of that onto wind. As that starts happening, potentially you could have a scenario where the Indian market becomes 15 to 20 gigawatts of wind requirement. Now, realistically speaking, that's difficult, simply because putting up so much wind within a period of time, onshore, within 4 or 5 key windy states becomes a challenge. But I think, realistically speaking, the Indian wind market could be a 8 to 10 gigawatt play per annum comfortably as we move along.
Perfect. And on the same lines, you did mention that you are preparing yourselves for gigawatt scale execution and are targeting, I think, 2 gigawatt of execution in the medium term. Would it be possible to show some timelines that are you looking at, let's say, 1 gigawatt in the next 2 years and 2 gigawatt over what period?
Look, I think I'll just leave it at the point that we're scaling up, in a very, very smooth manner, in a well-organized manner. We've taken multiple actions over the course of the year, as Kailash touched upon. If you look at some of the guidances or if you look at some of the investor reports out there, they talk of 800, 1200 megawatts ranging between those numbers this year, next year, etc., etc. I think we are, as a company, virtually in position for a gigawatt scale execution. Naturally, we are gearing up further to be able to have the capability to do 2 gigawatts a year. I wouldn't want to say more than that, but I think our internal targets are higher than what's out there. I believe consistently been beating whatever expectations the market has from us, and I hope the whole team put together keeps doing that as we keep moving forward.
Understood. Thanks. And lastly, just wanted to understand that I think the execution for this year, if I remember correctly, the guidance was about, I think, 450 megawatt. I think the numbers that have come in have been slightly lower. Is there some spillover that we are seeing which will show up in the first quarter, second quarter?
Okay, I mean, I don't think we gave any specific. We've given guidances broadly for targets for this financial year and the next. Now, whether we've done 380 megawatts or 420 megawatts, I would only urge you to look at where we started from. We've really moved from 70, 80 megawatts over the past 5 years when the sector was dead to now about 380 megawatts, which in itself is almost 5.5-6 times from where we are. 30, 40 megawatts is, I wouldn't even call it a spillover. I mean, in any case, I think we should possibly be much more than what we've guided for. And, 100, 200 crores here and there, 1 month here and there, it's not really going to make one difference in our scheme.
Fair point. Thanks a lot for answering that one.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Smitesh Seth from Radiant Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Hello.
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Please speak a bit louder.
Hello. Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Can you please come near to the mic and speak?
Could you please suggest what was the India level installation, wind installation in Q4, sir? Any rough idea about the industry-wise installation happening in Q4?
So over the course of FY24, installations for wind was around 3.2 gigawatts, and in Q4, if I'm not wrong, it would be roughly around a gigawatt.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Vora from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So the first question was, from next year onwards, FY25 onwards, what could be the hit bed that you can expect? So say 10 gigawatts of tenders come out and we bid for them. What kind of hit bed are you expecting, Bhagi, on that?
I'm able to understand your question. Your voice is a bit muffled.
Okay, is it better now?
Thank you, Vikram.
Hello. Is it clear now?
Yeah. If you can speak a bit slowly. Yeah. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I was asking was what kind of replies can we expect, you know, when you bid for tender? So for example, if 10 gigawatts of tenders come out in FY25, and you bid for them, what kind of returns are we expecting, you know, if that will be converted into your order book?
So we are not developers. When projects are awarded, we come in the second stage. After the award of the project, the projects are then awarded to the OEMs. That's where we come into the picture. What we've guided is all there in the analyst reports for both FY25 and 26. You can read through it and get a view on what will be our execution numbers for both FY25 and 26.
Okay. Okay. What would be our fixed cost per year, you know, below our contribution, just a ballpark number?
Yeah. So overall, Rohan?
Hello.
Yeah. So, fixed cost for the overall INOX is around 140-150 crores for the year.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back to the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, and congratulations for the outstanding results. My question is, if we see consolidated result, overall basis, we have earned around 56 crore annually. And out of this, 35 crore is current quarter. So I would like to know the breakup of this other income. What are the components?
Okay. So this 35 crore, you're talking about the total other income for the Q4. So this includes our overall, you know, wind and IGSL both green, and it includes some value-added services into the green and some scrap-related sales, or.
Insurance.
Insurance claims. So these are the non-operative income in Q4.
Okay. So there are no interest income and all these in this category?
Say again. Please come again.
No, I am saying, is there any interest income kind of thing in this other income, or it's the value-added thing, other than interest income?
So majorly, it's a value-added services, which would be in a repeated in nature. But, you know, as it is a value-added service and it is not related to core operations, core, you know, your revenue item, that's how it is classified as the other income. And that would be repeated in nature, and that is the majority out of it.
Okay. So, in future, following quarters also, the kind of income will be with such quantum, or it will be lesser or more? Can we expect that?
It depends on the quarter-on-quarter basis, but majority of the same will keep on coming on the quarter-on-quarter basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhavan Shah from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on the execution side. I think we were of the estimate that this year would be around roughly 450 megawatt FY24, but we did roughly 129 megawatt in the last quarter. So again, the question is, what led to lower execution for Q4? And on project-wise, I think in the third quarter presentation, you mentioned based on the different orders. So can you share, you know, the execution timeline based on the different orders like CESC, NTPC, SECI, and the other ones, how it would be executed in FY25?
We have not given any official guidance. You know, we have just, if you see from that point of view, we have grown almost, you know, six to seven times, you know, from that perspective. And general guidance, you know, we always are looking from, you know, execute from 600-800 megawatt.
If you see for this year, next financial year, we have guided for 800, and the year after, we have guided for 1200. But also, you have to keep in mind, there could always be a volatility for a quarter or two. There could always be certain slippages. So you can hold for a quarter on a quarter basis. What you have to look at is from an annual perspective. So for next year, when you look at it, we have guided for 800 and the year after 1200.
We already have an order book of 2.7, which gives us enough confidence for this kind of an execution and even beat that.
Out of 800 MW execution in FY 2025, how much it could be from CESC, NTPC, and the other orders?
I don't think we can share those details. I think the order book is in the public domain. As we receive orders, we put that out in the public domain. Frankly, we will not share details of who will supply what to in which quarter, but it's gonna be a mix of all these customers. As we win orders, I'm sure you will be keeping track of the fact that there are certain timelines. Some are 18 months, some are 24 months, some are for the coming two quarters. It's gonna be a mix of all these customers.
Okay. I think 2 months back, there was news that, you know, the SECI would again start the reverse bidding like it was in FY 17 or 16. How do you see if that starts for the wind sector itself? Do you see the same kind of challenges what we faced during that time?
No, we don't see any challenges. It was a non-event, and this was in fact an internal note which came out and was published by a media agency. In fact, it was a non-event. Even after that, we won another order, a repeat order from Hero of around 210 MW. It did not matter at all for us.
If you look at it, majority of the orders earlier were already on this path. It is only the plain vanilla wind orders were where they were discussed on this note. As we have said in the past, we have come out publicly, this is a non-event. Our order book is very healthy, and we continue to win a lot of orders despite this.
No, I think we've been on record across all news channels that 90% of the sector operates on reverse auction, which is RTC, hybrid, and FDRE. Frankly speaking, 10% of the sector supposedly being on closed bidding, whether it happens, doesn't happen, makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. I think we've been on record. There have been multiple public statements made by me. As we continue to see, we continue to win large orders. Current order book is sold out for the next two and a half odd years. Frankly speaking, as we've said multiple times, this is an absolute non-event.
In the standalone accounts, I think for this quarter, we have ECL provision of roughly 100 crores. What is that related to and for what, which project?
As we are transitioning from the 2 MW project to 3 MW project, we on a conservative basis, we have taken an additional provision of 200 odd crore in our books of accounts. As such, we are very. That is a non-cash item, and that doesn't have any, you know, impact on our cash positions.
I didn't understand. Can you please explain again or in detail?
Yeah. Hi. I think you must refer our note number 16A in financials. Broadly, you know, these all are the non-cash line items of rupees 14 crore. I again repeat, non-cash line items. We have provided for the higher ECL on our debtors as we have completely transitioned from 2 MW to 3 MW now. Please refer this note of 16A in financials.
Is there any expected losses which we are foreseeing, you know, from that particular customer, and that's why we have provided provision?
No, this is as per our regular ECL policy. Since the five years we have been doing that, and there is no particular, you know, like, change in that, event in that. Yeah. There's no trigger.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Dikshit from Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yes. On the execution side, I understand there could be some volatility in terms of execution number. If you look at the blended realization, that has dropped significantly from the first quarter of this year. Like, we were executing only 2 MW turbines in the first and second quarter, and our blended realization has dropped from 5.2 crore per MW to 4.1 crore per MW this quarter. Could you please explain this drop in realization?
Yeah. Hi. If you remember, we stated in our Q3 call also that we launched our 3 MW product commercially and started the supplies in the month of December. It has taken a quarter for us to ramp up. The supplies are in full swing today. But yes, there may be quarterly variations, which is there. And because there was a ramp up in this quarter, there were supplies of some of the components. Some of the components will be supplied in Q1. So this is something which happens in a normal course of business.
Shweta, if I may answer that, because you're transitioning completely from 2 to 3 megawatt, obviously it could not be perfectly timed. You can't have all the nacelles, the blades, all the towers going out at the same point in time. Yes, we had that going to the extent of 90% accuracy in our 2 megawatt product. But now on the 3 megawatt product, over this and the next quarter, we'll make it uniform. So to that extent, what you're seeing in revenue realization has not gone down, but basically there are certain blades and towers which have not been built. And going forward, you may have a scenario where you may actually see higher realization because you'll have more blades and towers and less nacelles. But this will neutralize and make itself aligned over the next 1 to 2 quarters. But certainly the realization in 3 megawatt is more. That is why we're getting to a very strong profitability scenario. Otherwise, we would have been struggling on the profitability front with the 2 megawatt product.
I understand, but even though we have, it is a milestone and component wise breakup, but still, the sub component wise also, are we 3 megawatt components expected to be, fetch higher realizations on a standalone basis? Also, it's around 3.6 crore per megawatt if you look at 129 megawatt of execution. So I just wish to understand, like, what kind of realization do we build up, especially for FY25, considering there could be volatility in terms of the execution guidance.
You may have volatility in terms of quarterly. In terms of the full year guidance, we've given an 800 megawatt guidance, and we've given EBITDA guidance of 14% to 15%. So on a full year basis, we are not suggesting volatility. We're suggesting volatility on a quarterly basis, number one. Number two, you have a mix of turnkey, you've got a mix of equipment supply, you've got a mix of equipment supply with some value-added services. So as a thumb rule, it's good to take a 6 crore number. So that broadly means if we do 800 megawatts, a 4800 odd crore top line number is a very realistic scenario to look at.
Okay. I heard it correctly, the net interest-bearing debt as of end of FY24 was 655 crores, if I'm not wrong?
Yes, you're right.
Could you...
Given the breakup in our quarterly presentation also, if you refer to the second last slide of the presentation, the breakup is given for your reference.
Okay, I'll just check that. I'll come back in the queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Muhammad Nami from Fairdeal Petrochem. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. I had only one question. What is the reason behind issuing the bonus?
Yeah, so
I think it was, if I may jump in, sorry, Mr. Rakesh, because we were receiving a lot of feedback from the investors, and in terms of the price that has really run up in the last 1 year, we find it is important that we consider the investor's feedback and we understand their intentions behind the shares to be more liquid and to be in a fair reach of most of the retail investors. And with that feedback and with that background, the company decided appropriate to look at the bonus as one of the key elements of rewarding the shareholders. And that is where the board has decided to issue the bonus. And clearly from 150 rupees to 600 rupees journey is something that was unprecedented, and it was one of the best performing stocks in this segment. And that's why the board and its cumulative vision and wisdom and also the feedback from the investors decided to go down that path.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pradyuman Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So, just wanted one clarity. We have around 2.5 gigawatt capacity, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So, why, like, of course, maybe we are being a bit conservative, but why are we suggesting an execution of 800 megawatts for FY25 and 1200 megawatts for FY26, considering order wins seem to be there?
My friend, thank you for this lovely question. I wish we could do 2.5 gigawatts and say that yes, we are doing that. But you must appreciate, we've been at about 70 to 100 megawatts for the past 5 years. We are probably the only company which has come out of 5 years of brutality in this sector without a single rupee of haircut. The only other key guy has survived with a 14,000 crore haircut. Now, effectively, if you're going to ramp up from a top line of 500 crores to 5,000 crores in a speed of 12 to 15 months, I think that is massive. It's not that we can press a button and go from 500 to 20,000 crores. If you look at us going to about 1,200 megawatts, that would be a top line of almost 10,000 crores. So looking at a scenario where a company is going from 500 crores to 10,000 crores in 2 years, we do not want to bite more than we can chew. We don't want to take in orders where we take them for the sake of taking them and then fail. We've seen this over the past 12 months as well. A few of our competitors have taken orders and then there have been challenges in their supply chain, in their delivery, in their execution. And I think we want to be extremely conservative. These are very, very large numbers we're talking about. We've also been candid enough to keep upgrading our guidances. And we have said, as we move along the way, as we feel appropriate, we will take on more. So I would leave it at that.
Understood. But where exactly would you say is the bottleneck? Like, are we a bit concerned on the working capital side, or is it just that we are a bit concerned maybe in case of any future changes in terms of regulatory which might come along? Like, exactly is this...
I think the whole challenge lies on execution on the ground. It doesn't lie in working capital. It's a net, you know, we'll be a free cash flow company from this year, significantly free cash flow company. Banking is not a challenge for us. Manufacturing turbines is the least of the challenge. So while you ask me, we are manufacturing capacities 2.5 gigawatts. If we were making caustic soda, if we were making steel, yes, we would be running it at 100% utilization, possibly 110% utilization. Unfortunately, in the wind sector, we have to, whether we are doing turnkey or whether we are doing equipment supply, at the end of the day, someone still needs to execute. And if you look at what's happening in India, the biggest constraint is who will execute wind. There are only two wind players in the country today who survive, who do turnkey. And everybody is flocking for turnkey solutions. So the challenge remains, how do you do so much turnkey, multiple lines, ROWs, acquiring land, transmission infrastructure at the same time? If that gets resolved, which is not a piece of cake, to that extent, if people can resolve that and do that, certainly we supply more turbines. I mean, if you look at it from 1 year ago to this year, and if you look at our order book, it's now transitioned from virtually 95 or 100% turnkey to virtually 70-30 or maybe 60-40 now with the Hero order. And our stated goal was to be roughly 50-50. So as long as people can execute, we are more than happy to supply turbines to them.
Understood. That helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Bhutra from Reliance Industry. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello, Devan sir. Many congratulations for posting great set of numbers. My query is, do we bid for offshore wind projects?
No, we are not looking at offshore at this point in time. We have access to that. In fact, our 3.3 is capable of being onshore and soft offshore. Our 4X platform is also capable of being onshore and soft offshore. However, as I've said multiple times in the past, and I'll reiterate, the cost of energy in offshore wind is 2.5 times the cost of onshore wind. You don't go offshore just because it sounds sexy to say I'm going offshore. There has to be an economic, rational and reason. In India, we are very well endowed on the onshore front. I mean, looking at whichever study you pick up, from Garrard Hassan to Lawrence Berkeley to Nivea, onshore potential ranges from 300 gigawatt right up to 1100 gigawatt. And currently we're at 40 gigawatt. So I think for the next multi-decades, I don't think we need to bother about that. And in a country such as ours, which is very progressive, developing a lot, and it's a great place to be in, it's probably the hottest investment destination in the globe, But the flip side of that also, if you're a poor country, power, 3 rupees, 4 rupees bhi chahiye, 2 rupees bhi chahiye. No one is going to buy power at 7-8 rupees. So barring demonstration projects, showing technological progress, I see no reason for offshore to take off.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bhagrodia from ASK. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. You mentioned that you're the only player who hasn't taken a haircut and has managed to survive in a competitive industry like this. Could you give us specific reasons why? Because we've always looked at this as more as a, let's say, a competitive, commoditized industry. What have you all done so differently?
You know, it's a management philosophy. People operate at 3% margins, 4% margins historically. People operated with 6,000, 8,000 debt. I frankly don't know. I can't answer about them, but all I can say is across the INOX GFL group companies, we are profit leaders in whichever segment we operated. We are very, very conscious of the capital we spend. Simple point in place, our entire capex on this 2.5 gigawatt of manufacturing capacity was close to 600 to 700 crores. Competitors would have spent close to 3,000 crores. So I'm not sure where it goes, what they do wrong. All I can say is we are very conscious about capital spent. We are very conscious about costs, and that's probably the only reason why we survived. While we had to pump in 700-800 crores from the promoter family to survive, we did have 5, 8, 10, 15,000 crores of debt. Had we had that, we would have been an NCLT as well.
Okay. And going ahead, let's say now we are left with two players, us and another player. What would you say is going to be, let's say, our win rate, or is that too tough to give a call in terms of how bidding goes and stuff like that? Would that be something where...
No, look, I don't think you can do that. I think it's as simple as that. The longest lead time you get to execute a project is 24 months.
Okay.
PSUs give you 24 months. IPPs give you 12 to 18 months. Retail gives you about 3 to 6 months. So today, if you put out 800 and 1200 as guidances in the public domain, and our order book is 2700 odd megawatt, we're anyway sold out for the next 2.5 years. So it's no longer a question of him winning, me winning, who winning. We have taken as much as we want. I mean, yes, if we wanted to do more, we'll take more. But I think we are chock-a-block with respect to the next 2 years.
Sure. And would you be would it be safe to say that these are at the margins which would be comfortable to you, and we see that, let's say, this bottoming out and there could be scope for margin improvement from here?
Look, we've guided for 14 to 15% and I'll stick to that. Yes, there could be scope to improve further, there could be scope to go down 1%, but I think keeping all those thoughts in mind, currently we are guiding for 14 to 15%. As we move along the way, if we have guidances, new products come in, etc., etc., we may have this.
Okay. And just last question, and the working capital is something we're confident on would be in this thing and not deteriorate from here, right?
Working capital, guiding for 90 days.
Yeah. So for working capital, we are guiding for 90 days. Though our net working capital eventually will be 45 days, but on a conservative basis, or to all our investors, we are guiding for 90 days of working capital cycle.
Okay. So fantastic. I think then at least the next 1.5 years, everything seems to be placed. And lastly, would there be any risk which we could then, because see, 1.5 years we're secured for. So any other risk which we might... So I'm saying next 1.5 years, we are secure on orders and margins and working capital also looks good. Is there any risks which could be there which we've not mentioned?
I think, let's put it like this, we've got all the building blocks in place when you look at our presentation. We've got a strong balance sheet, we've got a lot of orders, we've rejigged the management team, we have our supply chain in place. So frankly speaking, after 5 years of hell, there has to be, the sun has to, kabhi to suraj bhi ubhega na, now it's our time. So let the next decade be our time. There are normal business risks, which are part and parcel of any business. Quarter here and there, percentage here and there, receivables 30 days here and there, which is part and parcel of this business. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhant K. from Tusk Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. I just wanted one clarification. So on a blended basis, the revenue net of taxes per megawatt, what should be the benchmark?
So net of tax, 6 crore rupee number which Mr. Devansh has said is on a gross basis. So broadly on net basis, you need to divide this by 1.15. So broadly net of taxes and revenue per megawatt will be somewhere around 5.24 crore rupees.
5.2, okay. This time it's coming around 4.2 for the standalone number. So, any reason for the...
So as explained, this 5.2 crore rupees comprises of nacelle, blade, tower and the, you know, EPC components. But, you know, there will be always a quarter-to-quarter variation in this number.
Okay.
Might be in some quarter you will see the higher number. But on a yearly basis, in a normalized year, which would be FY25, this number should come. Will come.
Okay. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Gupta from Emerge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, all of my questions has been answered. Just to understand, do we see any other exceptional item coming in FY25, like we have seen for the Q4?
Yeah, how will anybody know whether an exceptional item will come?
So-
How can you know that today?
Is there anything left for-
It's not possible to know that. I think what we've done as a company is kept operations straightforward. I think you would have, you could have exceptional gains, you could have exceptional... I mean, that's how we see it. I think we've been very conservative in terms of the balance sheet approach, in terms of provisions, and I think to that extent, it's impossible to predict exceptional item, but I don't see anything fundamentally changing from here on.
Okay. That's from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Dutt from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes,
Hello.
You're audible.
I just wanted to know, like, in note number 16B, it mentions about the we have transmission capacity of 1.9 gigawatt in two states of Gujarat and Rajasthan. What exactly is this? Does this refer to, like, if you can explain?
So what this means is basically, all the wind capacity we've set up today, and if you look at that note, it says in particularly currently Gujarat and Rajasthan, hybrid policies have come out, which enable us to use the common infrastructure to the extent of 50% more capacity. So on the existing infra, which has been fully utilized and spent out, we are now allowed to load 50% more power. And we are developing hybrid across multiple customers, and multiple customers want us to give them the connectivity. So while we don't do solar EPC and we don't provide for that, many of the customers are coming to load onto these transmission lines. And to that extent, we have almost a gigawatt worth of capacity which has been created, which will be sold out. And that's the reason for the reinstatement in intangible assets.
Okay. And when you talk about this intangible, like a land bank of 5 gigawatt, so this is the total capacity or this is the incremental opportunity which is there?
This is the incremental opportunity.
And this is the capacity in Rajasthan and Gujarat, basically.
No, no, I'm talking about the overall.
The 5 gigawatt is the incremental capacity. The 1.9 is the already operational utilized capacity on which now we can add approximately 50% more thanks to the hybrid policies in these two states.
That will be an opportunity for future projects as well.
And what is the, what was the CapEx for the year and what do you expect it for FY25 and FY26?
We've guided capacity CapEx going forward will be about 50-75 crores for the new molds which we keep getting. Other than that, we don't need any CapEx. I think for the current year as well, we would have been close to about 50-70 crores.
Yeah.
And this in the cash flow statement, it shows CapEx of around 750 crores, including
It is not a common infrastructure which we have built on a various sites, right? So basically this we will rely from the customer. So, you know, as per the Ind AS that need to be capitalized, but that is not an optical CapEx which the company incurs.
So basically, that will be realized over a period of time, and on one side you will see the fixed asset, on the other side you will see the liability over a period of time. So the optical CapEx for, you know, production or for running our operations are around 50-70 crores.
This will be to, I mean, change the molds and all?
Yes, change of molds or change of, you know, required for anything for the 3 MW thing.
This Hero project will also be, is it a equipment contract or is it a C2C contract?
No, it is mainly equipment supply, but along with some added value-added services.
This will be executed over what time frame?
This to be executed over next, probably 15-18 months.
Okay. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Preet Nagarsheth from Wealth Finvisor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I want to understand, we set up for a 3 MW execution. The question, by asking this, what I'm trying to understand is our level of readiness, the molds that need to be in place. Does it mean that from Q1 onwards, we should be able to have a more execution than what we've executed in Q4? Could someone share some light on this?
Yeah. So obviously, the Q4 quarter was the one in which we ramped up the 3 MW production. Going ahead, as we have stated multiple times, 800 MW is the execution target for FY 2025. Now, naturally, the ramp-up is going on, so Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, you will be seeing gradually more execution. But FY 2025, we've completely transitioned to the 3 MW product, and out of the 800 MW, it will be majorly the 3 MW turbines which we'll be executing. So obviously, over Q4, you will see gradual ramp-up in our execution.
Okay. Another question here was that, because being net debt-free by the first half, but if I look at the kind of EBITDA and the kind of margins and, you know, the cash flow that could potentially come from next year, at the end of the first half, how are you planning to see 600 crore plus money being generated, including the depreciation, that you could utilize to pay off the debt? Or is there some plan?
No, I mean, for being net debt-free by H1, and I think we have multiple options in front of us as a company. We look at that as we keep moving forward. I don't think we'll be able to shed more light on that at this point in time. But yes, operationally, over the course of the full financial year, with an 800 MW execution, I think there should be much larger free cash flow than the 600 crore which we need to pay down debt.
Right. So what I was trying to get to, Devansh, is that, are there some kind of stake sale, additional stake sale being planned, or it's going to be fully, you're seeing using-
Impossible to answer at this point in time. All the options are open in front of us. I think the balance sheet is very, very strong. We've come down from about 3,000-odd crores of interest-bearing debt and advances now to about 600-odd crores. So frankly speaking, you know, we're going to be net debt-free in H1, and I think we're confident. We have multiple strategies in play. We have our O&M company in play. We have multiple options. We have multiple things being discussed at the board level and also at the operating level. But all I can say is operationally itself, our free cash flows in the manufacturing business will be much larger than the 600-odd which we carry on the books. I won't be able to share more than that at this point in time.
Got you. Got you. Okay. Perfect. Great. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for the day. We would now like to conclude this conference. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.